Candace Ganger, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, your latest novel, Six Goodbyes We Never Said, is a riveting story about two teenagers each dealing with the loss of their parents. Where did your passion for writing for that young adult audience all begin?
I used to carry a notebook around all throughout my childhood. It was sort of my therapy. My parents went through a pretty nasty divorce, and that notebook got me through those times. So that notebook became the basis for my entire career.
What does reaching directly this age group do for you that any or all other writing and age groups just don't hit?
Well, I feel like when I was in my teens, there weren't a lot of books that spoke to me personally. So I try to write for me, for the 16-year-old me that needed those stories.
And exactly what inspired this latest story?
So this book in particular has kind of been brewing for a long time. At the central part of it, it revolves around my loss of my biological father and searching for my identity my whole life. And Naima has a hole in her that nothing can fill. Once her father dies, she realizes that it's just an empty hole and it's just going to be there and you have to sit with it. And that's sort of what I've been sitting with for 30 years. So I wrote this story sort of as a way to say goodbye to my dad.
And help others.
Yeah, help them say goodbye to whoever they love that they've lost.
What a lot of love you share just with that gesture. And your two protagonists end up meeting and sharing their grieving processes. How does this advance that message that you want to share here, Candace?
Well, I've always been somebody that's kind of closed off. I have a lot of friends, but I don't reach out to them when I need them. Naima's the same way. So her meeting the other character, Du, she's forced out of her comfort zone. She knows that she's grieving and he's grieving. And the only way they're going to heal is through each other. And it's not romance, it's friendship. I think a lot of us forget how many people we have around us when we're going through something. And those people care. And if you can find the courage to reach out, they will help you through it.
Amen to all of that.
Yeah.
And the story is such a fascinating one that you weave around it. What inspired your setting, Ivy Springs, Indiana?
My first book, The Inevitable Collision of Bertie and Bash, is also set in this fictional town. So there's a crossover. One of the characters in Six Goodbyes, her name is Violet. She is also in Bertie and Bash. So I thought that'd be kind of cool to just have like a town over and connect the two books.
And you live in Ohio now, but you were born and raised in Indiana. Just have an affinity for the Midwest, it sounds like.
Yeah, I can't help it. My heart's in Indiana, I guess. That's where I write about all the time. Even if the towns don't actually exist, it's always set in Indiana. I don't know.
And how do you go about combining the classic values and issues that teens have always faced with at least the current and contemporary side of issues and how they hit kids in the 21st century?
That's interesting because I think with social media and just there's so many different problems today. I know that from raising a 13-year-old that it's so much different than when I was in high school. I don't know. There's something in me that is forever in that age group. I don't know if it's just sort of an arrested development from my own losses and grief, but connecting whatever's happening in today's culture and what has been happening in the past, I don't think there's a big leap, really. It's all relative. Loss is loss, grief is grief, war is war. And if we can find a way to put two characters going through those things, people will relate to some part about it. It's universal, those things.
That not only makes sense, it's a brilliant insight that shows us where you have gone with this book and how you reach the folks that you do and how the older generation actually responds and interacts is a huge point of this story, Candace. Honestly, is it a challenge to write as and for the younger generation, especially when they're relating to your generation?
Sometimes. I still think there's part of me really that is 16. It's just I want to nurture her, that 16-year-old me, and give her the path she couldn't see in front of her, and giving her adults who were looking out for her and showing her the way and building her up and supporting her. There needs to be more of that. I didn't have a whole lot of that growing up. I had it through my grandmother who passed. So she was sort of my inspiration for how the adults were going to respond to Naima's grief.
Okay, and you have a real good way of extrapolating then what happened to you, but keeping it fresh, keeping it objective might not be exactly the right word, but I will say fair and balanced so as to reach into the whole psyche of these kids and show the world as you're showing them that there's a way around it. How intentional is it as you write each sentence, each paragraph, to keep that present in your focus?
Oh gosh, intentionality is everything. I knew writing this book was going to release all of my own pain. And every word in that book, specifically with Naima and her OCD, there's not a word that's not supposed to be there. It's there because that is who she is. So when I write with intention, with Naima specifically, it's sort of hard to disconnect from her because she's so much of my childhood pain. But I know that by putting those words the way they're there, and they're there for those reasons, that it might help another 16-year-old that is going through something similar.
So you can stand outside of yourself and look down at the whole thing
Right.
then as it's going along.
Yeah.
That's quite a feat and quite a gift or quite a skill that you have right there. And the issues, the fragmented slices of life we really are immersed in this book, they're all showcased in clear and graceful credibility. Frankly, this is a great read for any age. What's your secret?
Honestly, and I teach this to my kids, you just don't give up. It doesn't matter if the first draft is terrible. It doesn't matter if you lose your way in the middle of the book. You keep going. You go until it's finished. You keep going until you get the agent, until you sell the book. You just keep going. So
I will say is you're perfect proof. Listening to you in this conversation, as well as reading the book, we certainly can see that that is your active premise and good for you. It can't always be easy. So are you kind of saying stick with it? Is that your secret?
My secret is I've been doing this for about 15 years, and I just now had books come out. So if you want things to happen, you absolutely have to keep going, no matter what.
Thank you for sharing that insight. And as you noted, social media factors heavily in your storyline. I am kind of curious, how does it affect your own author's world with all of your readers, but especially that connection with the young adult readers?
I don't know how people did it before social media, because the messages I get from readers when they post a picture of my book on Instagram and tag me, when they post something on their Instagram story or Facebook or whatever, that makes my whole day. And it's why I write, because if those people connected with what I wrote and they feel compelled to reach out, it meant that much to them that they reached out. I couldn't do it without social media. I could not. That's where I get to actually know who is reading what I write, and why would I write if nobody's going to read it?
It influences your present and future work to have such input.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, you also, in your spare time, have ghostwritten hundreds of fiction and nonfiction works for all kinds of authors, award-winning novelists, everybody under the sun. What's the appeal there?
Money. It never usually even paid that much, but it was usually enough, and it gave me practice that I needed for my own books.
So would you say that the anonymity is a blessing or a challenge when you're putting it out there and it's really, really good, but nobody does know you're writing it?
I had a lot of frustrating years for a while. There were a couple of books that did really well I couldn't claim. So anonymity is not for me. I like my own books with my own name on them.
Though the fact that you did get to practice and try your hand and your pen at almost any genre and style, after all of that, in your heart, is it still the young adult fiction that calls your name the most, would you say?
I'd say that's where my feet are grounded.
Okay, and good for you. I'm sure your readers are happy for that as well. Meanwhile, the blogging and the contributions to the teen sites that you've made, because it's wonderful to have somebody interesting writing for this whole population. How does that feed your need to connect and help folks figure out their worlds?
I have always been outspoken about mental health, specifically with teens, because those were things I dealt with that I didn't have people to reach out to for. I didn't have the resources. So I try to contribute to teen sites and mental health sites as much as I am able to show people they're not alone, mostly, to say the things that I wish I had heard. I can't do it as much anymore because I write full time for an entertainment website. But when I do, I would say those things have a lot more meaning just because I remember what it felt like to need to hear those words.
And they come freely and also very, very creatively. Of course, you hope that will continue, but is it pretty safe to say that you're in this for a good long while now?
I don't have a plan B, so.
That's good. Then we're happy that you found your niche. And now that this book is out and making a great impact on readers, as your second young adult novel, both of them are, I know that. What's up on the drawing board for you?
So currently I have another young adult book that's with editors right now, so please buy it. I also have an anthology that my agent and I have put together that is specifically targeted at teens that live biracially, that may be having issues with their identity like I did. And I'm writing my first adult book right now. So I'm all over the place, but writing, and I write full time, like I said, so just writing all the time.
How's it feel?
I mean, it's the most me thing I can do.
Ohio resident Candace Ganger is author of Six Goodbyes We Never Said. Candace, thank you for taking time to share this story of a wonderful story with us today. Job well done. Carry the gift.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.